This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So this is called take two. Okay, this is a challenge with internet connection. We tried to do the first recording and for some reason the network was not good enough. So we're going to begin once again, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الحديث هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثات بدعة وكل بدعة دلالة وكل دلالة في النار. Okay, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, today we are going to speak on a very critical subject, and that is the subject of riba. This is a word, this is a terminology which has been haunting the Muslims for the last 1400 years, and more so in the last 100 years, where the complex financial transactions which are existing in the world today has, without our intervention, without our ability to control ourselves, has made us fall into the sins of riba. Today, riba is almost there in any kind of transactions if you're not careful. For a very simple example, if you have your mobile bill which is due for payment today, and your bill mentions that if you do not pay your bill by today, you will have to pay an additional fine tomorrow. Do you know, my dear brothers and sisters, that additional fine also is riba? So riba is not merely restricted to your banking transactions. We must be very careful about our financial dealings, because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and before that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has given grave warning regarding the subject of riba. Now let us understand, what does riba mean? Riba has been defined as any kind of an excess. It could be a surplus, it could be an increase, any addition. A more literal definition for riba would be, it could be any stipulated additional amount over and above the principal in a loan or a debt transaction. Further, there are other definitions like that it could be a contractual surplus which has arisen from a loan which was taken for any particular transaction. So these are some of the definition of riba. We're not getting into too much of details at this point of time. By the end of this short session of mine, I will let you know how you can acquire more knowledge on the subject of riba. Riba has been prohibited firstly in the Quran, and there have been four stages in which the prohibition of riba came. Allah says to the Muslims in the Quran that the Muslims, and in fact Allah says to the entire jinn and mankind, that we have not created the jinn and the mankind except that they worship us, referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for His worship. And amongst the acts of worship is obedience. And amongst the act of obedience is that we are not only obedient to the commands of Allah, but also obedient to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Because Allah has mentioned in the Quran, "Ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul." Be obedient to Allah and be obedient to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And Allah says in Surah Ahzab that once Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has decreed a matter, it is not up to us to have an opinion on such an issue. So today when we speak on the issue of riba, we're going to be speaking about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us about the subject of riba, and what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam warned us when he spoke on the issue of riba. After we quote Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, you and me have no say on the subject of riba. We need to hear and we need to follow. That should be the way of the believers. Now coming back to the stages in which the Quranic ayahs were revealed on the subject of riba, there were four stages in which the warnings came. First was in Surah Rum, ayah number 39. This is the 30th surah of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compares riba with zakat and charity and says that zakat and charity is praised and it is preferred over the issue of riba. So the zakat and charity is compared with riba, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in the sight of Allah, the zakat that you pay, the charity that you do, is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than of course riba. The second stage of prohibition which came was mentioned in Surah Nisa, ayah number 160 and 61, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attached the practice of riba with the Jews, and they considered this as a practice of oppression. Subhanallah. Today, almost all the major financial institutions which deal in riba are somewhere or the other controlled by the Jews. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this 1400 years back, that this is a practice of oppression and something which was the act that the Jews were doing even before that, even before Islam came in its final form. The third section of prohibition which came of riba was in Surah Ali Imran, ayah number 130, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited the practice of charging double and multiple riba. You see, when due amount is due and a person could not make the payment, in the pre-Islamic Arabia, the people used to say, fine, if you can't pay me, no problem, you pay me next year, but this time you need to pay me double the amount. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala condemns that as well. And lastly, the final prohibition comes in Surah Al-Baqarah, and this is really one of the most toughest ayah of the Quran. I have not come across a severest warning to the believers then this ayah of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that anyone who does not give up his wants of riba, then he has to prepare for a war against Allah and his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'd say this is amazing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning the Muslims to prepare for a war against Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of judgment. I don't understand where we shall be on the day of judgment if Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam declares a war on us. We'll have no face to show. The consequence of waging a war by Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of judgment means we've lost it. We've lost the purpose of this life. We've messed up our akhirah. That's how grave the warning is as far as the subject of riba is concerned. Many of our brethren take the subject very lightly. They feel that it's not a major issue. You know, we are not directly involved in riba. We are not assisting in directly people taking riba. I'm working as a security guard in a financial institution. I'm working as an investment advisor. I am sitting down as a teller who gives out the money, or a clerk. I'm not directly involved. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, it is high time we stop fooling ourselves. We could keep fooling ourselves for the rest of our life. The reality is that we are engaging in providing our services, which is assisting riba-based institution. Let me ask these brothers and sisters who justify working in a riba-based institution. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, would you work in an industry which serves alcohol? Would you work in an alcohol-based company as a financial accountant, even though you're not serving alcohol? Would you like to work in that institution? Would you like to serve in an industry, a pork industry, an industry which picks up the pig, you know, gets its meat, you know, puts them in a tin, exports it to different parts of the world, and your job is just to sit and prepare accounts for such a company? Would you work for them? You will not. You shall abhor it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has equated riba, or in fact not even equated, He has talked about riba as a far worse sin, calling it as waging a war against Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil ways that many of us have fallen into. Now, I'm not going to get too much into the details right now, because inshallah, by the end of this year, I shall be coming up with a session which is meant for layman people like you and me, who would like to know where all can we fall into the traps of riba, without getting into too much of technicals. That is going to come up by the end of this year or early next year. The dates will be released by IOU soon. I would request each one of you to register for that course, inshallah, and join us. Before I end, I want to leave you with some of the ill effects of riba. The ill effects of riba in this life and the ill effects of riba in the next life. Well, we already mentioned one of the most important ill effect in the next life, and that is a war against Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let me tell you what can be the consequence of such a war. The first consequence of such a war is that you will often find a person who works in such a financial institution is often suffering from depression. Such people are always working under stress. Such people are always suffering from insomnia, lack of sleep. These are people who are suffering from anxiety. They're always on the tenterhooks. They're always stressed. They're always worried about something. And if you ask them, they have no idea why they are so worried. This is the sin of riba. This is the consequence of waging a war against Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Further, a person dealing in riba is deprived of Allah's mercy. As the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cursed the person who accepts riba, the person who gives riba, the one who records it, and the witnesses to riba, the two who witness the riba. Basically, the witnesses in a riba transaction. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, if Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam curses something, that will have no blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can make tahajjud, seeking a blessing on something which Allah has made haram. Allah will not put any blessings in that. Because Allah has made the decree, He's passed the decree, that this is haram, khalas. There is no more option that we have in this matter. It is like us praying to Allah, oh Allah, give barakah on a glass of alcohol which is lying in front of me. Astaghfirullah. Could you do that? Would you even do it? How is it then when we work in riba-based institutions, we seek help and guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put barakah in such a transaction or in such a money? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has cursed anyone who engages in riba. What would be the state of such a person on the Day of Judgment? Again, Allah mentions in Surah Baqarah, ayah number 275, that such a person would be as though he is suffering from madness, as though he is suffering from an epileptic disease, as though the person is suffering from seizures. This is the consequence of dealing in unlawful interest. Subhanallah, the man had suffered morally and spiritually in this life, and he's suffering in the hereafter as well. The sufferings are getting bad to worse to worst. What is the effects of riba on the individual and on the society? Firstly, in the society, when you have the system of riba, typically it is the rich who give the money to the poor. And the rich ask for a riba, and the poor has to pay an additional amount of money. So the poor is getting poorer in the society, and the rich gets richer because he gives his money, gets back more in return. The poor takes some money and has to pay back even more. So the poor gets poorer, the rich gets richer. The gulf between the rich and the poor is widening in our society due to these riba-based transactions. Further, there is an wasteful extravagance in the society. You see what happens is, today when you go to a mall, so everything is so easily available. All you have to do is, you buy this, don't worry sir, we have somebody from a bank who will assist you with a easy EMI scheme. And you buy it and you pay a small interest, 2%, 3%, khalas, the transaction is yours, the product is yours. Wasteful extravagance, getting easy money on credit. This is what riba does in the society. It also is dissuading the investors from investing in productive transactions. When they're not, what is happening is people are now more interested in giving out money to people and taking back returns, rather than people investing their money in projects. And when you invest your money in projects, the chances are that there will be risk. And that risk means the party who borrows the money and the party who's given the money both stand to suffer a loss in the transaction if the project does not take off. Or both may suffer short-term loss and may benefit in the long run. Islam allows such a transaction where both parties have an equivalent risk. But not a riba-based transaction where one party takes all the risk and the other party is just interested in getting their money back. If you don't pay them their money back, they will seize your house, they will seize your car, they always stand to benefit. This is not permitted in the Islamic module of financing. So that's as far as the effect of riba is concerned. It of course deprives the wealth of any form of blessing, thus leading to what is called the economic crisis. If one of you can all go back and study about the subprime crisis. The subprime crisis in US in 2008 was caused due to series of complicated and complex transactions which were carried out. But if you see, the underlying instruments were all riba interest based instruments. All interest-based instruments were behind the economic crisis in 2008. And that crisis had a rippling effect in all the other countries. Today, there are so many countries which are suffering due to the 2008 crisis. Financial institutions like Lehman Brothers had to shut shop. Financial institutions like Citibank had to suffer huge losses. Major other financial institutions are suffering losses because of the economic crisis in 2008. People lost jobs. Financial losses led to people committing suicide. Why? People had taken huge loans and now there was no money in the market. They lost their job. They had no money to repay back their loans. And all the great extravagance that they had in the society, and people used to think that so-and-so has become really rich. Suddenly the people feel that they can't show their face to the society and people start taking away their life. So now riba reduces the value of your life. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made human being the ashraful makhlukat, the best of people, the best of creation. And the best of creation should follow the best of guidance, which is Al-Quran. And the best of creation should follow the best of mankind, which is the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. If we follow the best of guidance and the best of mankind, inshallah ta'ala, the reward on the Day of Judgment will be the best of place, which is Jannatul Firdaus. I would like to end with that. I look forward to your participation. For more details and for knowing more about this riba, I would urge each one of you to join Islamic Online University. We have few courses at IOU. There are diploma courses, there are degree courses, and there are certificate courses. You could join and study with us over there at IOU. In addition to that, as I mentioned to all of you, for people who wish to know about simple transactions, whether it is halal, haram, and how do we go about our day-to-day transaction, I have a course which will be coming up soon at the end of the year. So stay tuned, be in touch, and I look forward to your participation. Jazakumullah khair for sparing the little time that I had taken of yours to attend the session. Jazakumullah khair once again. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.